And now, the life of Mary Hubbard. At last, Max Sanders knows that his pal Cheney is dead of injuries received in the prison fire. Even Dr. John Benson does not know what this means to Max. Dr. Benson and Dr. Tracy decided that Max must not know that the warden of state prison, in an attempt to cover up his own misdeed, has named Max and Sweet Lawson as the instigators of the prison fire. Sweet met Laura Barton, daughter of Jeffrey Barton, and Laura was so impressed with Sweet that she promised to speak to her father on his behalf. With the investigation of the prison fire close at hand, Sweet told Dr. Benson and Dr. Tracy what he knew of the warden's conduct just before the prison fire. Dr. Tracy and Dr. Benson have mapped a plan of defense for Max and Sweet, but their efforts have been complicated by the story of the warden's accusation, which has appeared in all the newspapers. Mary has read the story in the papers, and her troubles are intensified by the appearance of Gerald Proust, who offers to purchase her stock at a loss to Mary. If she doesn't sell to him, warns Gerald Proust, he will denounce her and Max as a disgrace to the town of Sandy. Dr. Benson is returned to the children's clinic to confer with Dr. Cartwright. Mary has remained at County Hospital with Max. It is early evening now, and Dr. Benson sits dejectedly behind his big, old-fashioned desk.
Come in. Come in.
Hello, John.
Hello, Merlin. Sit down.
Thanks. I can't stay long, though.
Mrs. Davis? How is she?
Oh, fine, John, fine. Couldn't be better.
Well, I've been hearing things.
Well, that's what I came here to explain.
Well, then why couldn't you have come to me first? Why didn't you tell me?
Because, John, you weren't here when we needed you. You went off to help Max Sanders and Mary.
But I thought I was doing the best for everyone.
You haven't done the right thing, John. My little niece is up there in the hospital. It may be ours.
Say, I put the case in Dr. Cartwright's hands. I trust that chap, Merlin. Implicitly.
Oh, I've got nothing against Cartwright. But when I heard you'd gone off and left the kid, I saw red.
Merlin, for the love of Mike, don't you trust me? Didn't you believe that I was doing the best I could under the circumstances?
Yes, John, we trusted you. But the workers just can't get it out of their heads that you run out of them to help Mary Sanders and her jailbird husband.
Merlin Davis, I'll not permit such talk about Max and Mary.
Oh, don't get sore, John. You and I are not going to get any place shouting at each other.
I spent my best years in the clinic here. I worked and pinched pennies to make the clinic go. And the first time I do something for a friend in need, you turn on me.
I'm not turning on you, John. You've done a swell job here with the kids, and I've always been the first to admit it.
Well?
But this time, John Benson, something you've done has hit me pretty close. Little Betty Gillen needed your care. Not only because you're a fine doctor, but that kid loved you. And when she found out that you'd gone away and left her, then it hurt her terribly.
I know. I did the best I could, and I'm right. I know I am in helping Mary and Max. Heaven knows I tried to help everybody.
And now look, Max Sanders in the headlines again. A common firebug. A grandstand mafia.
How quickly you all turn on Max. Not so long ago, you were crazy into the skies. Max Sanders, the man who put the town of Sanders on its feet again.
John Benson, if my own brother betrayed the workers as Max Sanders has done, I'd do just as I'm doing now.
That's a new one. Max, a traitor to the workers. How do they figure that?
I'm very close to the working class, John. I'm one of them. And this is what they're saying. Max Sanders couldn't make the money fast enough, so he joined in with a gang of petty gamblers.
That's not true, and you know it. Max was trying to drive those gamblers into prison, and he was willing to risk his own reputation.
John, can't you see? Max was their rival. They trusted him. And so long as Max retains his stock in Sanders' interest through Mary, there can never be cooperation between the owners and the workers here in Sanders.
Well, of course we'd get around to that, Merlin. You want Max and Mary to give up all their control in Sanders' interest?
It's not my idea, John. But there's much to say for it.
Don't beat around the bush, my friend. I know who's responsible for this backstabbing and petty treachery.
Gerald Proust.
Now, John, don't say anything you'll be sorry for. Gerald Proust has been undermining this town for a good many years now. Time he stopped. And by George, I'm going to do it.
Gerald Proust is a fine, upstanding citizen, John Benson. He admires you and gives you all the credit you deserve. But in this case, he's putting his personal feelings aside for the good of the town.
Those are his very words, I'll bet.
Why, yes, they were.
Well, and don't tell me you fell for that line, too.
Now, look here, John.
What would you say if I told you that Gerald Proust had offered to buy Mary's stock in Sanders' interest at one-fifth their asking price?
Sure, that's his business.
And when Mary wouldn't tell him, he certainly did it anyway. Because Max and Mary are a disgrace to the town of Sanders.
No, that's putting it a bit bluntly.
Now you see why I'm going to fight for the girl, too.
You're letting yourself in for trouble, John. It'll bring the clinic a lot of bad publicity.
I'll risk that, Merlin.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to risk it alone, John. If this head of the clinic you fight girl approved for personal reasons, it'd harm public confidence in the clinic.
Are you hinting that the board...
John, I'm giving you this straight. The clinic exists only to serve the workers and their children. If they lose faith in you because of anything you do, well, then the only honest thing for you to do is resign.
Merlin, before you go, I want to ask you just one question. Was what you just said your own idea of me?
What's that got to do with it?
Tell me.
No, it wasn't my idea. I'd stick by you, John, but my first duty is to those thousands of workers out there in that town. I see that now.
That's all I want to know, Merlin. Now we know just where we stand.
Well, believe me, John, my hands are tied.
Never mind. I understand perfectly.
I'm sorry, John. You and I had to go bust this way, but I guess it's a fight of the things from now on.
I understand. And don't worry about the little niece, Merlin. No matter how you and I feel, I look after her.
I know you, John. Well, good luck and so long.
So long, Merlin.
Dr. Benson, what did he say? Is he going to stick with us on this thing?
Merlin Davis is going over to the Joe Proof side now, Dr. Cartwright.
Oh, that's tough. Did he say anything about the little girl and girl?
Yeah, nothing against you, Dr. Cartwright. You've handled the case beautifully.
Well, then what's the trouble? There's nothing to worry about, not a thing.
I'm afraid when Gerald Proust is against you, there's plenty to worry about.
How's that?
Well, he wants me to resign as head of the children's clinic.
But you can't do that. Dr. Bates, this place will go smash without you. We can't get along without you.
I'm afraid you may have to get along without me, Dr. Cartwright.
But you're not going to let them pull this bluff on you.
That may not be a bluff. Not from Merlin Davis. At least he always pops up like a man. No, Dr. Cartwright, I've got to think this thing through for a while.
Well, I guess I'd better run along.
Yes, I'll see you later, Dr. Cartwright.
Well, I'll be in surgery, Dr. Benson. You can get me there if you want.
Oh, no, dear. You must keep that cover on your arm.
I feel hot all over. I'm like tired, Mary. And Mary.
Yes, dear.
Will you? You give me a drink of water.
Oh, you surely do. You step like a bottle of nice, cool water.
Oh, good.
And wait just a minute. Careful. Yeah, you're better?
Oh, that hits the spot. Well, I'm thirstier than I thought.
Now you can go back to sleep like a good boy.
No, Mary, no. I gotta tell you something. In a hurry.
Well,
let me talk, Mary. Listen now, and don't cry. I got a hunch I'm not going to last long. Ever since I heard that Cheney died,
Kind
of knocked me out. I ain't felt the same about things. And I caused it. All the trouble's my fault. You're better off without me, Mary.
Don't say such a
Mary, I had a dream last night. You were going far away. Someplace you didn't even know about. A whole new life, Mary, a whole new life.
What does Max's strange vision mean for him and for Mary Sanders? What new life lies ahead for Mary Seven and the one she loves so well?